Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A Wealth of Common Sense: Why Simplicity Trumps Complexity in Any Investment Plan, is a practical nonfiction book on personal investing by Ben Carlson, an investment professional and financial writer known for the blog of the same name. First published in 2015, the book addresses a persistent problem in wealth management. Investors often assume that complex markets require complex portfolios. Carlson argues the opposite. Because markets are uncertain, noisy, and emotionally difficult, most individuals benefit from clear rules, broad diversification, low costs, and a long-time horizon. The book blends investment history, behavioral finance, portfolio construction, and practical planning rather than presenting a formula for beating the market. Its purpose is to help readers build an investment philosophy they can understand and follow through different market environments. It is especially concerned with the gap between knowing sound principles and actually behaving well when fear, greed, financial media, and product complexity create pressure to act. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, simplicity works because market complexity creates forecasting limits. Carlson makes simplicity the central investing edge, but not because markets are easy. His point is that markets are too complex for most precise forecasts, so investors should avoid building plans that depend on predicting the next recession, interest rate move, sector rotation, or market turning point. The more variables a strategy requires an investor to get right, the more fragile it becomes. A simple plan reduces the number of decisions that must be made under uncertainty and limits the damage caused by overconfidence. This is why the book favors broad diversification, repeatable rules, and patience over clever tactical maneuvers. The argument is also practical rather than purely philosophical. Investors face constant information flows, expanding fund choices, and financial commentary that can make action feel necessary. Carlson counters that more information does not automatically produce better judgment. A simpler approach helps investors separate what matters from what is merely available. The advantage is not intellectual superiority, but durability. A plan that is understandable, low maintenance, and aligned with long-term goals is more likely to survive difficult markets than one that depends on continual adjustment. Secondly, individual investors need different rules than institutions. A distinctive part of the book is its comparison between individual and institutional investors. Carlson has professional experience with institutional portfolios, and he uses that perspective to warn ordinary investors against copying large endowments, pension funds, or elite asset managers. Institutions often have access to specialized managers, lower trading costs, dedicated staff, long governance processes, and the ability to negotiate terms unavailable to households. They may also pursue illiquid or complex strategies because their objectives, constraints, and oversight structures differ from those of a family saving for retirement. For individuals, complexity can become a liability because it adds fees, tax consequences, monitoring demands, and opportunities to make emotional changes at the wrong time. Carlson does not argue that institutions are foolish or that advanced strategies never work. His point is that a strategy must fit the investor using it. The household investor often has meaningful advantages that are overlooked: flexibility, the ability to keep costs low, no need to impress committees, and no requirement to chase short-term relative performance. The book reframes investing as a personal design problem rather than a competition to imitate the most sophisticated market participants. Thirdly, risk depends on behavior, time horizon, and personal circumstances. Carlson treats risk as more than volatility on a chart. Volatility matters because price swings can provoke bad decisions. But the deeper issue is whether an investor can meet financial goals without abandoning the plan. This view makes risk personal. A young worker saving regularly has a different risk profile from a retiree drawing income, even if both own similar funds. Time horizon, job stability, savings rate, liquidity needs, debt, temperament, and family obligations all influence how much market risk is tolerable. The book also emphasizes the behavioral side of risk. The greatest danger is often not a temporary market decline, but the investor response to that decline, such as panic selling. Performance chasing or changing strategy after losses have already occurred. Carlson encourages readers to define risk before the market defines it for them. That means deciding in advance what losses are acceptable, what assets serve different purposes, and what trade-offs are being made between growth and stability. This approach shifts risk management from prediction to preparation. Investors cannot control market outcomes, but they can control the structure that determines how they react when outcomes are uncomfortable. Fourthly, asset allocation, diversification, and costs are the controllable levers. The book repeatedly directs attention toward the parts of investing that investors can actually control. Asset allocation is central because the mix of stocks, bonds, cash, and other assets drives much of the portfolio experience over time. Carlson presents allocation not as a search for the perfect combination, but as a practical framework for balancing growth, stability, liquidity, and emotional tolerance. Diversification plays a similar role. It accepts that no investor can reliably know which asset class, region, style, or manager will lead in advance, so spreading exposure reduces dependence on any single forecast. Costs are another controllable lever. High fees create a persistent hurdle, while low-cost funds allow more of the market return to remain with the investor. The book aligns with the evidence-based tradition that favors index funds and broad market exposure for many individuals, but it is not only about product selection. Carlson wants readers to recognize that boring decisions can have large cumulative effects, saving consistently, keeping expenses low, rebalancing when appropriate. And avoiding unnecessary turnover may seem less impressive than complex strategies, yet they directly improve the odds that a portfolio can compound over decades. Lastly, a written investment philosophy converts knowledge into discipline. One of the book's strengths is its emphasis on having an explicit investment philosophy and plan. Carlson recognizes that many investors already know the basic advice: diversify, keep costs low, think long-term, and avoid market timing. The difficulty is applying those principles when the market environment makes them feel wrong. A written plan helps close this gap by defining objectives, asset allocation, rebalancing rules, acceptable risks, contribution habits, and the role of any financial professional before emotions are heightened. This transforms investing from a series of reactions into a process. The plan also clarifies what success means. Without a personal benchmark, investors may judge themselves against whatever asset or fund recently performed best, which encourages unnecessary changes. Carlson also discusses the role of advisors in this context. A useful advisor is not merely someone who selects products, but someone who helps design a suitable plan and keeps the investor from undermining it. The broader message is that common sense requires structure. Simple investing is not passive in the sense of being careless. It requires preparation, self-knowledge, and rules strong enough to withstand news cycles, market declines, and the temptation to overmanage. In conclusion, a wealth of common sense is best suited for beginner and intermediate investors who want a clear framework for building and maintaining a sensible portfolio. But it also serves experienced readers who need a disciplined reminder of fundamentals. Its practical benefit is not a secret strategy, but a way to reduce avoidable errors, overtrading, market timing, fee blindness, copying institutions, and changing plans during stress. Intellectually, the book helps readers understand why investing is difficult even when the core principles are simple. It connects portfolio design with human behavior, showing that the investor is often the weakest part of the system. Compared with many personal finance books, Carlson stands out by combining professional asset management perspective with plain language and household-level application. Compared with more technical investing books, it avoids heavy formulas and focuses on decisions readers can realistically implement. Compared with purely index investing books, it gives more attention to risk definition, institutional versus individual constraints, investment philosophy, and the practical need for a written plan. The book occupies a realistic middle ground, evidence-aware, accessible, skeptical of complexity, and focused on behavior. Its lasting value is that it explains not only what a reasonable investment plan may look like, but why the simplest plan is often the one most likely to be followed. If you would like to support Ben Carlson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.